I will start with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we joyfully come before you today and thank you for Marsh and Harvey's safe trip home. Thank you for our time to get together today and look at your word, to look at 1 John, to trust and rely and depend upon you, Holy Spirit, as the most wonderful teacher, the one who not only teaches us and unfolds your word to us, but quickens our hearts and brings revelation, knowledge and instruction about the wonderful Savior life that we have. We pray you'd quicken this paragraph to us as we dig deeper and deeper and guide our discussion, the things we have to share. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, the agenda today is pretty simple. We're moving on to insights. Missed a few classes. We've moved up in this paragraph from mains to bullets, and now we're moving into insights. And we'll unfold that as we get to it, plus just a tad review in reference to the previous sections on mains and bullets. Well, here's 1 John laid out in the thought box structure with the highlighted word no. Of course, that's John's primary key word in the whole thing. And regarding his goal, of course, it has to do with knowing that we have eternal life. Also knowing that eternal life is a person who, in birthing us of himself, becomes resident. We co-share and participate in the wonderful life that he has to share with us. Indeed, we have become of God. The next is the paragraph we're looking at. Bottom of the third column. I'm going to read it down the page here a little bit. It's a wonderful work we've done, so colorful that it is in the past. Here's the five main areas that we're looking at, the mains, the bullets, the insights, the prayers, and the quad relationships. We had a good session last night, our second one with the thought block structure for looking at the Epistle of the Hebrews. And that is, will be up later tonight on the website if any are interested to take a look at that and review it. I think it was about an hour, 15 minutes or so. And we had quite a discussion pertaining to the first paragraph of the Epistle of the Hebrews. First John, of course, is a complement to Hebrews, or Hebrews is a complement to First John. Both authors, by means of the Holy Spirit, are endeavoring to exhort the family of God to go on to full maturity, the Sabbath rest, to come into a full reliant faith upon the life that resides within, and also be grounded in the knowledge of how Lord Jesus has worked out that so great salvation. Here's our paragraph. Let me read that for us. By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our hearts before him whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God, and we receive from him whatever we ask, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. All who keep his commandments abide in him, and he in them. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit which he has given us. Hopefully, as we study together, we're also reading the epistle. This one's, of course, quite short. It's just five chapters in regard to the time to read through it and or listen to it. So hopefully you can at least get in one a week, if not more. And the more often that we do it, the more familiar we become with the content and the more effective our studies can be as we come together. So just by way of encouragement, here's what we developed for the mains, as you see quite colorfully there. I'll just read the summary statements that we have in the main box on the upper right. God greater than our heart. Abide by the Spirit. We keep, we believe. And we got those summarizing what we were agreeing was the content and also the flow of the dynamic. We captured some of that from the paragraph. So from the main focus, the topics, the main theme of the paragraph, keeping in mind its context in the midst of that epistle, we summarized it as we see in the main box there. The bullets, of course, then was looking at what we said in the main box and then also the paragraph itself and highlighted, remembering how we arrived at our understanding. We summarized the bullets using our own words or the biblical ones, but trying to force ourselves to summarize and make concise statements. He abides. I now know I am of him. Most important is the abiding spirit. And so we'll put the emphasis on the spirit, Holy Spirit, as we see that emphasis come towards the end of the paragraph. I now know I am of him. Of course, we're realizing and seeing that the Holy Spirit is endeavoring, as John writes and unfolds it, to bring us to a place of the full assurance that we are indeed of God. We have his nature, we have his love, we have his constitution, we have his spirit, we have his fellowship, we have his righteousness, and all those things putting together. We indeed also co-share and co-participate in things that in him would generate wrath and or hatred. So there's a hatred of the world. There's a love of the brethren. And those types of contrasts we see unfolded. All right, we're going to move on to insights today. There's a little comment that we have here. Just remembering key words can help us focus our mind on possible insights. And so what we might do, as you look through that paragraph to the left, the big one with the colored highlights in, is just read through it kind of quickly. You can read, each of us can kind of read through it and see if there's words that might jump out that might be suggestive. Right now, insights are, we're going to get behind what's being said. How do these words, these phrases, these topics, this main theme and focus, how do they open up the mind of God to us, what he wants us to know in the context of this epistle? What's behind it? What can we learn? What is might be an effective learning lesson that then that the Holy Spirit might be suggesting to us personally or corporately that we might apply in our lives? How might it adjust our believing or our faith? How might it adjust our following after the Spirit? How might it add to our great confidence and comfort level in knowing that we are of him and see the evidence coming out of our lives? So insights. So we'll put those things down today. I have the next page, I believe, is ready for us to put stuff into. All right, so the box on the left, just take a moment and look through it and see if there's any things that might jump out in regard to keywords. And I can put those words in the insights, and then we can have that as a point of reference to come up with after we think about it a bit and share what our insights might be. They can always be changed. There's no insight that's in error. They can be simple, plain. They can be exhaustive. They can be profound. They can be simple, literal statements. I will grab a text box so that we can maybe put some of those key words in right up here. So anybody has any key words, there are several that might jump off the page. We do see some keywords sometimes are repeated, and we see several of those towards the upper part. We see a couple of them a little farther down. It might be words we've used already, and mains and bullets. One suggested word might be heart, right? Heart. Seems to be significant. God's Holy Spirit's using it to point out to our heart relative to our self-perception. Being condemned, not condemned, God greater than the heart, and so on. So it seems to be, I'll just put it down there, is rather useful. We should get some insight from things pertaining to that. Let me embolden it. Change its color so we can see it stand out a bit. Let's make it purple today. Purple heart. All right, now we might have another one. Okay, there's an example. Anybody have a different another one? We don't have to exhaust anything pertaining to heart right now. We just want to put down maybe two more keywords or more if you have them. There's another one that's repeated in a group of middle phrases and verses, sentences here.
Commandments.
Commandments. And keep. So
and abide.
Keep commandments and abide. And then abide?
Yeah.
And okay, so there's words that are repeated, and the Holy Spirit doesn't waste time with frivolous things, so they are significant, important, and emphasized by the repetition. Of course, from these, we radiate God and Jesus Christ and commandments, or in all the relationships that we find in the context of wherever they happen to be used, whether it's heart or keep commandments or abide. So that radiates, and also it's the glue that puts things together here in the context of this paragraph. All right. So keep commandments, heart, and abide. So those are helpful for us as we go after some insights. I'll throw out an easy insight that I'm sure we all recognize and have talked about it. But is there not great comfort given to us, and then a confidence into this so great salvation that the Holy Spirit has wrought for us in the finished work of Christ in this epistle, in the fact that where we may not have thought about it, but obviously it's true to all of us, that God's greater than our heart. And that may be expanded to offer all kinds of related things, knowing that God's greater than our heart. So our heart is very important to us. Many of us have been instructed and encouraged in our Christian lives to protect your heart. And watch your heart and the attitude of your heart and all that type of stuff in Christian teaching and sermons and Bible studies. But the wonderful thing here is, independent of whatever our conscience has to say, whether we, as Hebrews illustrates, we need to draw near with a true heart, full assurance of our faith, heart sprinkled clean from an evil conscience. I think that's how it goes. And what in the world would sprinkle our heart clean from an evil conscience? Well, that we'll say for the study of Hebrews. Here we have, the Lord is greater than our hearts. So knowing that we're a child of God, whether our heart condemns us or not, is irrelevant to our relationship to him and the peace that we would still have, because it's based upon him, not whether our heart is shaky or not. So anyway, this is an insight that I think would be good to put down. Unless I get voted out, who can come against that? So we'll do this one in green. And I'll just put down wonderful insight. Let's see, how can we say this? God greater than the heart. Than my heart equals simple and a high degree of comfort. Well, it's more than that. It's an assurance that I'm His. Is that good? Is that good?
Yeah.
And let's change color. That's such a happy one. Let's do orange. Oh. Let's do it this way. Let's stamp out. Good. All right, one side comment as we look at these insights and getting even behind that, we can see, oh, maybe it's this, an aspect of this is the Holy Spirit using the reality that God's greater than my heart to bring me to a greater place of this knowing I have eternal life, that He wants to bring me to a place of complete confidence, trust, and reliance in His life. And Noah and God being greater than my heart, does that help me get there? Does it seem to solidify my happy dependence upon Him? Is it help me remain in a peaceful place in the midst of the tumultuous daily events we have, and allow His eternal life to be more comfortable with that reality and experience its expansion in the sense of my experience? There's possible insights in regard to why does the Holy Spirit say that? What's He doing with it? Okay. Somebody else can take the reins and run a bit with something. Maybe take, that was kind of the heart thing going on there. Want to segue off keep commandments? Somebody want to do that? We've got a major chunk in the middle here having to do with that.
I'll go with that one a little bit.
Okay.
Well, I was looking at reading a passage in St. John the other day. And they talk about being kept in the name of the Father. Jesus said that the disciples kept the disciples in His name, and also that that He was kept in His Father's name. And I looked that up, and what it means is that to be kept in His name, it means, and I wrote it down, the words we use, it means to be kept in His nature, or in his person, or in his essence.
Ooh, I like that.
And so it kind of says here, and this is His commandment that we should believe in the name of His Son Jesus Christ. So if we're looking at that like that, that would mean that we're going to believe in His very presence, His person, His essence, His who He really is.
Yeah.
So,
go ahead.
Where did you find that, Curtis? Where did you look it up?
The initial scripture about the name was in John chapter 17.
The gospel.
The gospel, yeah. Right. John
Okay.
And then when I looked it up in the Power Bible, I looked up that name, the word name, and that's what it talked about. They talked about that the word there means his essence, his person, who he really is.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Good.
I'll
write that down here.
That was John 17, 17:11.
That was great.
Well,
but also, it also means attributes.
So the meaning of name pertaining to the usage there in the Greek means packing all these things into his name, which really expands.
Yeah.
Who he is, attributes, but it all,
attributes, character, his person.
Okay. So let's just ask ourselves some questions about that. Are we comfortable putting this here and seeing, of course we'd say, well, that's John writing again, that fits quite well with his epistle here? Because John in this epistle talked about the things that Curtis just shared with us about the person of God and about Christ Jesus and so forth in the epistle. Well, yeah, believe in his name. So we've got the same terminology. That's the same author, of course. So we would assume he has the same meaning behind it. You looked that up from the gospel though, right, Curtis?
Yeah, I didn't look it up in this first John. I looked it up in the gospel.
All right. I'll pull that up real quick just so that we can. Which we might remember now when we get to the quad relationships regarding this paragraph, that would be a useful reference.
First John 3. So we would look a quick way in power by. Did you looked up the Greek?
Yeah.
I'll quick look up cross references. We should get. First Gospel of John, chapter 17. Or where's his name at? No, we didn't. Interesting. Oh, 17:3. But you said 17:11.
17:11.
Yeah.
And then you guys know how to do the Greek here. Curtis does. He just shared it. So. To get up here and look at what I'm looking at here, King James Version, you know, linear name.
Oh, we got a couple different ones going on this one. Authority, character.
And then we have the other Greek terms that it's derived from here. 3685, 1097 would be this one. I'll read this one rather quick. This might be complimentary. A prolonged form of, this is one of the base words behind the word that was used in John there. A prolonged form of a primary verb to know absolutely in a great variety of applications and with many implications as follows. With others not thus clearly expressed, allow, be aware of, feel, have, know, knowledge, perceive, be resolved, can speak. So a real kind of inside awareness of the person of God. Be sure, understand. Which really complements John's use of the word know also through his whole epistle having to do with God. And then the use of the name Jesus Christ brings us right into this awareness of who he is, his person. And I would suggest an intimacy having to do with experiential knowledge of that person life that resides. Okay. Knife sidebars. What's next? Thank you, Curtis. Who's up? Who's batter up? Next one is Abide. Oh, I hate to see ladies fight over things. But you have to, you have to. Copy that, paste it. You can share it. What can we say about abide? Is there any insight going on with that? We're down here in 24. This abide doesn't occur before that in the paragraph, I don't think. We also know the buildup. Here we have our hearts condemning or not condemning, confidence before God. Here we have keeping his commandments, pleasing him, believing, knowing, being aware of the knowledge, as Curtis brought out, of the personage and the character and the attributes of this son. And then we have the abiding, which is this one. And this one. Anywhere else? I think that's it. Abide in him and he in them. So a real oneness going on there. And that oneness, of course, is an indication of how we actually know and know what name is. It's actually an involvement and a co-participation in his person, his character. So, okay, somebody do the abide. Either one with more hair than Curtis or I have. A simple insight just suggested to hit it from a little more elementary, a little more obvious, is its insight. I can be abiding in him. He can be abiding in me. That's an insight. The Holy Spirit wants us to be aware of that. It seems so plain and that it would be just obvious. And so we might not focus on that, but it's one of the things the Holy Spirit wants to build our confidence in this relationship and our assurance, our foundational faith experience in his indwelling and all of that. And so the abiding isn't in question, and he's bringing it up in this paragraph as a kind of a climactic thing in the paragraph. regarding how he built up the things previously. So. You know, it's like the whipped cream and the cherry on top of one of the Dairy Queen. That's what that is, the abiding. There's insight. Didn't we in the not too distant past come to in our discussion that it was a natural component of our existence as a child of God that we keep his commandments by means of our nature, what he's done to us and who he is residing within us, how we've been recreated in it, recreated in him to be his house, his dwelling place where he can express himself. Everything he does, of course, could be put in the context of he always keeps his own commandments because it's him. He doesn't disobey himself. He always expresses himself, of which we in turn are participating in, which is a keeping of his commandments is just kind of a given. And I think we kind of discussed some of that not too long ago regarding a previous paragraph. So.
Yeah.
Now he has the abiding, but go ahead.
I'll tell you. I didn't know Kurt had focused on that name part. I'll go back a little bit and then I'll try to come forward.
Okay.
This whole paragraph here, especially we shall know that we are of the truth. God is greater than our hearts. Believe in the name, you know, his character, his essence, his person. And then the abiding also, but all of this, the source is behind us in the great I am, the eternal God. I did a focus on his name also, but it was for, the sake of my holy name. And it is for the sake of God's holy name that all of this paragraph is true and everything else we read. But it is for his sake that he does everything, or for his character's sake, or for his person's sake, that he's done this great work in us, his creation, because this was his eternal purpose. And so the abiding it's just natural, like you're saying, but we can have confidence that it doesn't come from us or what we're doing. And when we're believing in the name of his son Jesus Christ and his character and his essence, that's the essence of God that is abiding in us by the Holy Spirit, and we have this confidence and that we're able to abide because he's doing the abiding, he's doing the keeping, he's doing the all. There's one scripture that I really, really like, and it's in the Romans there. You talked about the bookends of Romans, to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name, for the sake of his essence, his character, his godliness, his all that he is. And he's bringing each one of his people. It's his desire to bring each one to that knowing and confident and experiential knowing of that essence of God in our daily lives. And the words are difficult. Sometimes when you're in your prayer times and stuff, it's easier, and yet to pull it down into words, this is good for me because I cannot pull things down into words that seem to be there, you know, in prayer time or in just times of study, and you get this glimpse of something just way, way, way beyond and bigger. And yet it's here, it's every day, it's now, it's his life. I said all that jumble, and I'm sorry about that, you guys.
Oh, that's good.
That was wonderful jumble.
Yeah.
Yep. Some people can pull things down into a little thing.
Well, into a, No, but all that, I think we all followed that quite easily. And
yes,
it was all,
we did.
It was all,
thank you, Sonia.
Yep, yep. Yeah, it was all great. I put some of it together here, summarized maybe the first half of what you said in regard to confidence that we are his life expression, having to do with all this stuff. It's his life coming out of us, and that's and we have that confidence in regard to that, so we don't hassle with keeping his commandments. We keep his commandments. It's just it's an expression of our life, which is his. Or the Roman bookends, the first and the first paragraph, last paragraph of Romans, regarding Paul's ministry and the presentation of Christ. So. If we're unfamiliar with that, we can look it up again at some point. I don't know if we need to right now.
Mm-hmm.
Which goes back to Ezekiel, as you were saying, Sonia.
Yeah, that's right. Another.
Yeah, in the whole new covenant is he's going to do this for his holy name's sake.
Yeah.
And what is it he doing? He's doing recreating us in Christ Jesus, that not only the birthing of his son, the bringing himself into the created order, which in turn forms a new humanity for him to indwell, which includes us for his holy name's sake,
mm-hmm.
of which we had nothing to do with, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my goodness. All right. Thank you. Can we pull anything else out? We can always do
page 2.
Nobody remembers where that came from.
Paul Harvey?
Harvey, yeah. Isn't that, what was his name again?
Paul Harvey.
Paul Harvey, yeah. Paul. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's just mull it over for a little bit. I'm going to read the paragraph one more time for us. By this, we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our hearts before him whenever our hearts condemn us. Now, he may be thinking of the entire paragraph as he unfolds it, which I'm kind of inclined to think of as for our discussion here. So the by this is just all this stuff, mm-hmm. all this evidence of the life that that is within us, all of it. And it's the result of that. Is his commandments are kept because it's he who lives in us. Our confidence is because we know, as the name comments that Curtis illustrated, we know that he's greater than our heart, and the abiding is just a fact of his residence. By his spirit and all, by this, and because those things are the, by this we shall know experientially. So we know in our personal, each one of us should be well aware of this, may not have titled it like this if we put a tag on it, when we might assess our personal experiences in the life of God. But these are things the Holy Spirit's putting his finger on in reference to, hey, take note that this is what's going on in you, and this is yours, and this is how I express myself in and through you, and take comfort in this, have confidence. So by this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our hearts before him whenever our hearts condemn us, for God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God. We receive from him whatever we ask because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he has commanded us. all who keep his commandments abide in him and he in them. And by this we shall know that he abides in us by the Spirit which he has given us. A side insight from the dark side of the force, so to speak, would be that we in our experience, we aren't promised that our hearts won't condemn us.
Right.
At least not in this paragraph, and probably not in our experience.
Mm-hmm.
But the enemy may attack us now, or by whatever means, and we'd be put underneath a heart that condemns us. Now, if any of us have experienced that, it's not a very comfortable place to be. It's a pretty profound revelation that our actual experience is far above what our heart might tell us. It's based on our knowledge of God, the knowledge, back again to what Curtis had highlighted, the name and the other evidences. But just knowing Jesus Christ in this context is greater than any condemnation that could come upon us. Think of that in regard to later as he unfolds judgment in chapter 4. Coming before the judgment seat of Christ, is there any place for fear, trepidation, knees knocking, apprehension? Because the condemnation, it can get extremely heavy and worrisome, yet the deliverance is our actual knowledge of knowing the person of God and that he's greater. And you would think, well, judgment could be kind of like a heavy event, put it mildly. Or in Hebrews chapter 12, the shaking. Everything's going to be shaken. But our comfort comes from knowing God, knowing him, not clinging to him, not having faith in him, our knowing him, which is John's emphasis. We can know all about God. We can know all about the church, about doctrine, about teaching. We can know all about articles of faith. We can have great believing and great faith, but it's the actual knowing him that brings us home, brings us through, that saves us, that lifts us up and out of this. Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's good right here.
Awesome. I can't quite mimic my daughter. I don't have the range, but.
You know, Mark, and you brought up that thing about Jesus coming, you know, to shake in Hebrews, but also in the end of chapter 9, it says that, you know, Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting.
Yeah.
And that's really kind of sounds like an encouragement.
Yes. Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah, it's not a warning or a threat. It's a great encouragement. To some, it might be a warning or a threat, but to us, you know, that eagerness and waiting is what, of course, the Holy Spirit's trying to develop a greater expand inside ourselves. At the end of that rock and roll hymn, there'll be a whole lot of shaking going on. Yet to be written. Well, okay. Thank you, Curtis. You guys want to add anything more? I think we've done pretty well here. We have a challenge, though. We have a little box to put all this in.
Yeah. You make your box bigger.
I'll start with a big one. So Let's go to the next page.
He said with thigh.
Early on, it's hard to get us to talk, and now we're talking way too much. I think I'll just duplicate this for the sake of the study, and in this next one, I will put the insight box, grab it from somewhere. Where is that? Right here. Okay, this is the page. All right, so we're going to endeavor to put it into this box. But we can make it bigger. That's not a problem. We'll wait till we get some stuff in. All right, so again, now we're going to take what we have. We're going to put it in our little brain crushing machines. And we're going to try to make it as concise, as small, as and as power packed a word or two words or a small phrase as possible to get as much of these five things, starting with the keywords through here. So now I know we could pack it all into something like God resides in me, and all this is true. But we're going to want to capture what the Holy Spirit's doing in the paragraph, but by way of insight. So insight, just jump back a little bit. What's the main thing he's inspiring or encouraging us to comprehend? You know, what's the main insight he's trying to focus to? We touched on it, all of us. And what'd you call your little thing going on, Sonia, when you titled that group of verbiage you had?
I have no idea.
Okay, so what we want is the mind of the Holy Spirit. What's he trying to convey to us besides his goal of a great confidence we have eternal life? But he's pointing to aspects of it here. We all talked about, well, we already have this stuff because he resides.
Mm-hmm.
So we have the keeping of the commandments. We have a knowledge and awareness of his person. And we have a righteous believing in his name by experience. We know this God, and so all that gives us a great confidence, and builds us up in awareness of God greater than our hearts and all that. And we're assured that he abides therein, we abide. So we have all that going on. Go ahead.
How about that? Lying confidence that we are his life expression, we abide in him and he in us. That maybe isn't as concise as you want it, but
okay. Well, it was start
it down.
Yeah, let's take that. Let's take the last. Let's take that whole thing, but let's try to compress it. So the last bit is he abide, because we talked about this.
The confidence or assurance, whatever word you want,
sure,
want to use, you know, they're similar.
Right. How about the end? Now, I know you weren't here, but we talked about this abiding, and we put it into a bullet up here. He abides, I now know I am him.
Okay, yeah.
Which, because he abides, I abide, is what we're thinking. I think part of that. Most important is the abiding spirit. So, he abides by his spirit. So we have that. So just the word, or the two words, he abides or the spirit abides, would take five or six words and bring it down to three. And so then there'd be the front part, confidence that we are his life expression. Let me throw this one out. Let me type it, and then we won't forget it. It might have value. We still should be able to shorten, but if what his means, what I'm suggesting is we are his. So just putting all that into his possessive, we are his possessive by the spirit abiding, or his by abiding spirit. The abiding spirit isn't there because we abide, right? Why is the abiding spirit there? We abide because he abides in us.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't we say that?
Yeah.
And
so we can put, because the spirit abides, we know we abide. So it isn't something we got to repeat saying, it's implied.
Mm-hmm.
If we're all of the same mind about it.
Yes.
Yeah. And the same with his. Same with his. And being, we're his by the abiding spirit. Inherent in that then is the keeping of the commandments, he's greater than our hearts because of the abiding spirit. We know him, the name, we believe. We have knowledge and awareness of that because of the abiding spirit. All comes down to the abiding spirit, which incorporates us and unfolds to us this knowledge of he's greater than. Is this making sense? So trying to put a lot into a few words. So. But they can be more than that. We got plenty of room in the box. So anyhow, there's a suggestion. Marsha went off from confidence and assurance that we are his life expression. By that, his life expression are
abiding.
Yeah. We're his life expression because he abides and he can't help but express himself.
Right.
And which in turn is why we're called his house.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, John doesn't use that terminology. Or, and I didn't mean to take us off center. So, Marsha, are we?
I'm fine with that.
Does in the red? Does that might not mean what you were intending over here?
Oh, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
We're his. I could put
your explanation makes sense if we just remember that.
It's getting to be a challenge as you get older. But
it is.
Yes. Yeah.
It is. When I look at it next week, I'll have to say, no, what were we meaning?
Yeah. I mean, that half hour of explanation,
little box with a few words, you got to have a good memory.
But which forces us to try to dig into it. So right. I'm just thinking, should we expand we are his by
the spirit abiding in us.
Yeah, we are. His by the spirit abiding. All right. Which in turn we abide. All right. So confidence that we are his life expression. Now that we might just put that part over. I mean, that seems to be pretty good, doesn't it? Wait, what did I do?
Yeah.
Oh, I moved a word.
What happened there?
I did something. There we go. So, stop! Expression got to go on the end, but it looked so good a minute ago. There we go. And get rid
of this. We have to get rid of we are. That we are, yeah.
Is that it?
Yeah.
All I was thinking was bringing this over here as another one and then see if we need them both.
Yeah. I like that.
You like that? I think
it'll help.
Yeah.
Clarify.
Yeah, that helps.
His life expression, we'll remember that, I think, right? And we are his by the Spirit abiding. Is there anything in the paragraph that we can't pull out of those two phrases? So out of the paragraph, is there anything in that for insights that we might be missing? Is there something more that the Holy Spirit might be conveying to us that we might not pull out of this? We're making his life be the dominant theme, and then abiding by his Spirit expression then illustrates belief, keeping. I think knowing also, so all those words that are hone our awareness of what we're doing. We are his. Anybody have another one they want to put in there?
I think that covers it.
Think so?
It really does, the whole paragraph.
Are they, you think they're insightful? In other words, they're not literal pulled phrases right out of there, but the Holy Spirit wants us to see what's behind what he's saying, to bring us to this comfort place, a place of comfort in our fellowship with him, that we are his by his Spirit abiding, and we are his life expression.
Mm-hmm.
We categorize those as insights?
Yeah.
I think so.
Well, our work is done today. Okay, let me, I will move that up to insights. We're all comfortable with it. So I'll move it up later. I'm just going to save it. All right, does anybody feel as though we need to spend more time on insights? Anybody really wanna? Yeah, you betcha. Let's take our time. Okay, so then the next one, of course, is
our his life expression.
Go ahead, Curtis.
Oh no, I was just reading that so I could write it down.
Oh, okay. I should have this up by, what is tomorrow, Thursday? By tomorrow night, I think, up on the website, both of the yesterday and today's studies. All right, from here we go to prayer. You guys can tell me you want to move on, or you want to and the study and chit-chat a bit. It's up to you. You might notice that we're getting a little more proficient at doing these.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, we spent 2 years so far, so we ought to be used to something.
You always have to bring that in.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, well, I think we did quite well. I think we got the grasp of it. We have some challenging paragraphs ahead of us in chapters 4 and 5. But And we're getting used to the wonderful thing about this, and as our minds get used to how the Holy Spirit works, is we're becoming aware of how he presents things. And so things that might we have stumbled over or be confused by, or might not be somewhat confounded by in the past, the Holy Spirit's brought us to be a little bit more and along the lines our minds are more able spiritually to be able to perceive what he's focusing on and the reason and rationale of why he says things. Mm-hmm. That, of course, should bring great comfort to us. So when you see passages in the scriptures that say you have the mind of the Spirit or have this mind in you and so on, we're starting to tap into that, and it's because of him working. And of course, thankfully, he gives us lives that will spend time waiting before him, and we reap great benefits by spending more time working our way through these things. Okay.
What a good chapter.
Yeah, it really was. Mm-hmm. All right, so we'll hit prayers next time, I think. We'll hit prayers next time, and we'll finish it in one, but we want to take our time with it, because the insights, it's becoming easier for us with the mains and the bullets, even though we might think they're a little hard. Once we get through those, the insights, we're becoming more spiritually perceptive, and then the prayers, I think, will become more comfortable with how the Holy Spirit might be indicating to us how we might take this stuff to him in prayer. So, and then the quad will be a lot of fun when we get to it. So we'll have a short day today. All right. Next time will be prayers. I'll have everything updated and all the modules or all the panels above that. Any questions? Anyone? No? Let me close. The Heavenly Father, we thank you for the richness and fullness of your word. That it's amazing to us as we spend more and more time with you and with each other as we study together the depth of your word and the profoundness of simple phrases and how you can put your finger on our hearts, our minds, our everything from our spiritual composure to a hungering and thirsting after you come from you using a simple written word to convey to us what you've preserved over the centuries and how it can be so relevant and fruitful and bring such confidence to us in our relationship with you in our own lives and our time that we live. We trust you to continually bless us, make these studies something that bring glory to you, bear fruit in our lives, and we engage more and more in the love to one another and to our fellow man. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. That's all, folks.